Psalm chapter 24. This is the Psalm of the Ascension. Psalm of the Ascension. This particular psalm is believed to have been the song that was sang as the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem, as David is brought it back up from where it had been so long Philistines, among the Philistines, then brought out and left there on the mountain for a while, and now they're bringing it into Israel now, or back into Jerusalem rather, and this is believed to be the song that is sung as it is brought back in. In fact, turn over to 2 Samuel. Let's look at that there in chapter 6, verse number 12. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 12. It came out of the land of the Philistines. You remember it was there, and they kept moving around to the different cities. It was in there, and every place they moved it to, it caused trouble. They put it in the house of Dagon, their god, and of course they were worshiping there after Dagon, the fish god. And every morning they would come in to worship Dagon, and he'd be on his face there in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Last time it fell, he fell across the threshold and broke off his head, his hands there, when the idol fell, and so they thought, well, we better get it out of here, and of course there's where they passed it to the different cities, and each place they took it, and there was trouble and pain, and finally they just stuck it on a cart and sent it on its way back to Israel. They wanted to get it out of the land of the Philistines, and the Israelites picked it up in Israel. They put it on a cart. Uzzah is on the cart bringing it back to Jerusalem, and of course the oxen stumbles, the cart shakes, and Uzzah sticks his hand back to steady the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord strikes him dead, because the law of the Lord declared there was no one to touch it except for the priests, and they could only touch it at certain times. It was not to be carried on a cart, but rather to be carried with the staves, as the priests were to carry it up on their shoulders. So everything about it they had conducted wrongly. And so from that point, they just put it in the house of Obed-Edom. And so we're going to leave it here for a while. We'll come back and get it later. And you can imagine there in his house, the honor, no doubt, to have the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord in your home, but also the fear to have the Ark of the Covenant in your house, knowing what trouble was caused for the Philistines, knowing that Uzzah had just been struck dead because of it, and here the king is dropping it off in your living room and saying, hey, you take care of this, we'll be back picking up later. You know that there had to be a little bit of fear there in the house of Obed-Edom. But it says in here in chapter 6 and verse number 12, as it is brought to David's attention that the Ark of the Covenant is still there at Obed-Edom's house, it says, told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom, to the city of David with gladness. It was so that when they that bare the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Every six steps they took, they performed a sacrifice as they were carrying this Ark back. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So this was a great excitement for the children of Israel to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And as they brought it forth, the sacrifices that were offered, the joy, the singing, the dancing, and this Psalm 24 is believed to be the song that they sang as they brought it back to Jerusalem. Here in Psalm 24, we read concerning this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Now, he begins this song here in verses 1 and 2, and he describes the ownership of God over his creation. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. All of it belongs to him. The whole world, and they that dwell therein. The whole of it belongs to him. Everything in it. Those people that live on it, it all belongs to God. Man divides up parcels of land with deeds, and he declares ownership over this and that. Builds houses and buildings and lands and so on. Nations are divided up, and man establishes the boundaries of those nations and declares what can be or what can't be in those particular locations. But at best, all we are temporary tenants of that which belongs wholly to the Lord. That which we have, that which we have around us, those things that we are able to purchase and own, whatever little plots that we may own, it is all by the hand of the Lord that he has allowed that for us. He's allowed us that place. It all belongs to him. He is the owner of it all. And being temporary tenants, all that man has staked his claim upon can be taken away simply at the voice of the owner. And our Lord has done that many times. Removing kings and setting up kings, destroying nations and bringing nations into being. He is the one that is in absolute control of it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He says in verse 2, for he hath founded it. This is how or why he can claim this ownership is because he is the one who has made it. He is the one that's spoken into existence. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He is the very creator. He's the one who has established. He is the one who spoke it into existence. The Bible declares not only is he the one that spoke it into existence, but he's the one that holds it into place. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 17 tells us our Lord not only is the creator of it, but in him all things consist. He's the one that holds it. He's the one that keeps it working as it's supposed to. He's the one that causes the earth to spin on its axis and to make its orbit around the sun. He's the one that holds all those things. He's the one that causes the sun to rise in the morning and the moon to rise in the evening. He's the one that holds all of those things in place and causes those things to work as they should work. He's the one that sets the boundaries of the sea, the Bible says, and beyond that boundary they cannot pass. It is all this creation, this world that belongs to him is all held together by our Savior. He is the owner of it all. But there's a special place. They describe here in verse number 3. Now, we recognize it physically because he's using the hill of Zion, the place of the temple there in Israel. He's using it as a physical reference for us to consider that heavenly hill, that heavenly Zion, that heavenly temple area in which our Lord resides. And he uses the physical here to remind us of the heavenly, and he declares here in verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who can ascend to the throne of God? And once there, who can dwell there? Who can stay there? Who can continue in that place? Every example that we have in the scriptures of those that even had a vision of the throne room of God were brought to their knees with fear. And John said, I've seen the Lord in his glory. There in Revelation chapter 1, John said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Just having that vision of the glory of the Lord. Being in the presence of that vision of his throne room. Isaiah describes it very clearly there in Isaiah chapter 6 when he had that vision of the throne room of God. So he asked, who shall ascend into this hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Even if we could ascend and scale such an awesome height, who could continue to stand in his presence? He answers the question for us here in verse 4. He that hath clean hands. This is who's permitted to walk up this hill. This is who is permitted to stand in this holy place. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. And seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Who shall enter into the presence of God? Is the question. Who shall ascend into his holy hill? Who shall stand in his presence? Who shall be in the presence of his holiness and his righteousness? Only he who is righteous. He, again, describes he that hath clean hands, and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who's that? Not me. It's not you. It's not any of these others that we read about in the scriptures, even those that had the vision of it. They just had the vision. Who has clean hands, a pure heart, not lifted up his soul under vanity, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, to seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Now, because of him, you and I can now ascend under that hill. Because of him, you and I can now stand in his presence. Because of him, you and I can dwell in that place, in that high and holy place. We can dwell there now, but it's all because of him. We couldn't do it without him. He's the one that had to ascend for us. The one that can ascend into the hill of the Lord, the one who shall stand in his holy place, is the Lord Jesus himself. And it is only He that can go on His own accord into that high and holy place. He's provided that way for us in that He has given unto us His righteousness. He's provided that way unto us in that He became our sacrifice and died in our place and became our substitute in our stead. That we also might enter into that place. That we also might have that place in the presence of God. Such an opening that He has made for us. Paul said, let us go boldly into that throne of mercy. There, Hebrews chapter 2. For the door that our Lord Jesus has opened for us upon His high and holy hill. He says, verse number 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. As glorious and grand as New Jerusalem will be, those marvelous gates of pearl must acknowledge the King of glory when He comes in. In Israel and many other countries around the world in their capital cities, they would have several gates at each gate. There was the door that people would pass through, and they would often just leave that open and allow people to traffic and to go through, do whatever needed to be done for the day, and they would keep the rest of the gates closed. On special occasions, they would open up the two big gates, and they would open them up wide and open up the door more so that people could pass through more easily, and they would do that on festival days and so on, and open up the fullness of the gate there so that there would be no restriction of travel through those particular gates. One of the things they used to have in these old cities was what was called a head gate. And this is what it's talking about here in verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. That head gate was the gate that at the top of the oftentimes in that archway there, the arch itself of the gate, would open up and they would fold that gate back up out of the way. The only time you'd open that gate is when you had a dignitary come in. You'd open the gate wide. As wide as you could make it, you'd open up the regular gate, you'd open up the head gate. When the head gate was open, you knew somebody important was coming in. As they sang this song of our Lord's entrance into that high and holy place, it says there again in verse number 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And ye lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. All the battles our Lord has won, all the battles that He has fought. And He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here they are, bringing this symbol. Here they are bringing simply the symbol of the Lord into the city, and they're singing these songs looking forward to the realization this is just a box we're bringing in. There's a day coming when the very one this box typifies will enter through, and those doors are going to be open wide for Him to enter in. He's going to come in and take His kingdom. He's going to come in and take His throne. He's going to declare His seed from generation to generation. There's a day coming when the King of glory will at last be it or eat it. You see our Lord's battles. He's fought against every enemy of God. But he has won marvelously. He fought against death. He won. He fought against hell. He won. He fought against the grave. He won. He fought against sin. He won. He's led captivity captive. King of glory. Is this one? Is he clean? Is he pure? Has he lifted up his soul in the vanity or sworn deceitfully? Does he have rights? The sin is holy here. He doesn't have right to sin in the field that nobody does. He's the only one. The only one. Our God is the mighty sovereign of the universe. He has won every battle that he has fought. He is the God full of power and glory. He is the God of protection for his people. What good is a weak God? We serve the living God, the God of all power. He is the one that is declared to enter into these holy gates. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He says in verse number 10, who is this King of glory? Well, he's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. He is the King of glory. He is the King over everything. Jesus Christ, our Lord, risen high and lifted up. He is the King of glory. He is the one that answers the requirements of verse number 4. He is the one that answers the call of verse number 3. And he answers it not only for himself, but he answers it for you and I as well. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Jesus Christ, my Lord, is the one that's going to do that. And has done that. And he says, and all them that I've brought with me. All them that I've brought with me, they'll also ascend into this place. They also will rest with me. They also will be eternally in my presence. Who is this King of glory? Jesus Christ, our Lord, is this King. He is the one who has ascended for us. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.